Thank you for this evening. We pray that you would be with us, that you would speak to us, and we could learn something of you through your word that would carry us through in this dark day. But Lord, as you said, when you see these things coming, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So may everything that we see, may everything that we would read on the news and see by the side of the road, just encourage us to lift up our heads, to look to the hills, to whence comes our help, for it comes only from you. We ask you to be with us and open your word this evening, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, musicians. In 1955, in January, Brother Branham preached a sermon called The Seven Compound Names of Jehovah. And he only really mentioned one of them, Jehovah Jireh. The next month, in February 1955, he preached Jehovah Jireh. And he preached that message 22 times, including two three-part series, Jehovah Jireh 1, 2, and 3. Okay? What I'm going to do tonight, and I calculated it, is we're going to do the seven compound names of Jehovah. Okay? If I take 7 minutes per name, that's 49 minutes. To squeeze in something that Brother Branham never even got to in the course of his whole ministry on tape. So what I'm saying is, pay attention. We're gonna go through this, because what I want to do is I want to give you a nice overview of the seven compound names of Jehovah. Okay? This is something that, well, we could do a... Well, who goes to the Bible study? On Friday nights, David does sometimes. We're doing the seven church ages. We've been doing it for I don't know how long. We could do this as an in-depth study. We're not going to do this tonight. But I'm going to give you some clues as to where you can start looking at this and how you can approach this study that you can learn. There's a lot in here. All right, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, and then we'll turn to Romans chapter 10, and verse 13, if you would stand with me for the reading of the word of respect to the Lord God, I would appreciate it. And then in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And then over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and please take your seats. We're going to look at this, and here's how we're going to just unfold it this evening. We're going to look at each of the scriptures where we see the Lord unfolding these seven compound names throughout the Bible. And we'll see there is a theme to this unfolding throughout the Bible. And then we're also going to look at a couple of the instances where the compound name is, we're going to look at the word that makes up the part of the compound. All right? So Jehovah Jireh Jireh is the compound part of that. Jehovah is the name of God. Jireh, what does that word Jireh mean? And where do we first see it in the Bible? Are there a few places that will give us some insight into what this understanding is? All right. Are you ready? Do you have your Bibles? We'll start in Genesis chapter 22 for the first one of these. And there's a reason it's the first one, because it's the provision of the sacrifice for us, that substitute for us. It's also the first place in the Bible where love is mentioned, which is really interesting. I almost preached on that because, we'll get there. If you want to hear some of that, then this Friday Bible study is going to be really interesting, because we're going to see the love of God unfolding in Deuteronomy. We know this story. First time love is mentioned, verse 2, "And now take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." So interesting. And then it comes down. We know the story. I've only got 7 minutes for Jehovah Jireh, so we're not going to do the whole story, but we're going to see how Abraham went to offer his son in obedience to God's commandment. He would offer the son that he loved to God. And he loved his son, and there's this element here that says, okay, son, it is better for me to follow God's commandment, because your outcome will be better if I kill you following God's commandment than it would be if I act in my own love and don't kill you. You ever think of that? Yeah, okay. And so, did you follow that? Yeah, okay. So following God's commandment is a better expression of love than following what you think is best for your children. So, but Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord shall it be seen." Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. That's how we sing it. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But it's not quite as simple as that, because that Jireh comes from Ra, which is first seen in Genesis chapter 1, the compound part of that. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Yes. Marginal note says the Lord will see. And that's the compound. The compound is to see. All right. So Genesis chapter 1, the first time this word appears in the Bible, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." God saw the light. Is the same word in Jireh. God sees. And isn't that fascinating that we say that's God provides, but what Abraham is saying is, I was in a situation, I didn't know what to do, but God saw. And because God saw, he did something about it. All right? And when God saw for the first time, he saw the light that it was good, and he said, I see that. And it doesn't need any further adjustment. Unlike this microphone. Okay. It doesn't need any further adjustment. It's good. I see it. We're done. And so Abraham says, if God sees it, that's all I need. And we can take that into our prayer lives, because when we have a problem, when we have a burden, when we have something on our heart, when we have our brother Juan walking in the cold, okay, we say, Lord, do you see this? I am not sure that you've seen this. I am going to pray that you see this. Because if I can get you to see this and to acknowledge it, then that's all I need to do. Right? I got 7 minutes, Brother Don. 7 minutes. Okay? Because I can't do a seven-week series. I could do a seven-week series, but it would stretch out for a while. Okay? We're going to get to the next one. All right? This is just a little snippet. Okay? You got Bibles. You got Esort. Well, if you don't, you can download it on your phone. Android and iOS now. So, you can go and study these things out and run it through yourselves. So, the first thing, the Lord will see. Now, I'm just going to add this one in. Let's turn to Genesis 16, because this is so fascinating that I just couldn't help but drop this one in here. Okay? Another time the Lord sees. All right. Yeah. Now, here's Hagar. She gets pregnant. All right. And Sarai kicks her out, makes her life so miserable she runs away. And the angel of God comes to her and says, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm running." And the angel of God says, "Go back. It's going to be okay." Okay. So, look at this. In verse 13, "And she called the name of the Lord that she spake unto her, Thou God seest me." It's the same thing. "And for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" But interesting, God sees everyone. God looks after everyone. Everyone's got their own place. But look at the difference in the relationship. She didn't say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, the name of God, but God sees me. There was a different relationship, even though it's the same concept. We all relate to God in a different way. Just thought I'd drop that one in to say, isn't that interesting? Yep. All right. So there's the foundation, Jehovah Jireh. I see and I will provide. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 20. Exodus 15 and Genesis 20. So, alright, Exodus 15, 26. Okay, so, here's the situation. They go through the Red Sea. They see the armies of Egypt destroyed behind them. They're on a path of victory. They know God is working for them. Okay? And they go into the desert. And they go 3 days into the desert and they found no water. Verse 23, "And they came to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree." I mean, like, yeah, we can just dive deep into just this one thing. It's like, there's Jesus Christ, there's the waters, but there's your life. You get to be a Christian, things are going well, you hit your first trial, it's bitter to you. It's like, Lord, what happened? "He cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer." Okay? And that's not just talking necessarily about a physical healing, although it is talking of that physical, providing that physical need. But also when you get to the waters of bitterness in your life, there is a place where you can make those bitter waters sweet by the sacrifice of the tree, on a hill far away. Okay? But God said, "Here is my promise to you. I am the Lord that heals you. I will turn your bitterness into sweetness. I will take care of you." Now, in Genesis chapter 20, we find the first mention in the Bible of this word heal. So verse 17 and 18. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Okay? So there's the first mention, and it's about producing life. Because if you're in a place of bitterness, they were about to die. There's no water. We're going to die. There's thirsty. And we can say we get to points in our lives where our experience of walking this Christian way is so bitter, we say, there is no more life left in me. It would be better for me not to walk this way anymore. And you'll get to that point. You have to get to that point. Because if you never get to that point, you never know if you really believe. You understand what I'm saying? And when you get to that point, you need to know that there the Lord is there to turn the bitter water sweet and to allow the new life to come forth and to heal the situation. Okay? There's a lot more we could say. But you're going to like the next one. Jehovah Nissi. This is Exodus 17, just a little way on. So he says, here am I, I'm providing for you. I'm giving you the sacrifice because I see your need. And if I see your need, I'll provide your need. I'm going to turn the bitterness that you're experiencing into sweetness. But now, I'm going to be your banner. Exodus 17. from verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Okay, so we're talking a real battle here. We're talking also, you're in the battle. And whether you're victorious, whether you're winning or losing, is not in your control. It's in the control of the man at the top of the hill holding the rod up. You understand what I'm saying? So you can be fighting just as hard as you can, and you can be losing because something behind you isn't in order. And you can be fighting equally as hard and win because something behind you gets in order. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ever feel like, Lord, I'm fighting just as hard as I always have. Why am I losing? Yeah? Well, it might not have anything to do with you. That's not a reason to stop fighting. But it's just saying, sometimes we're in a situation where we can't win and it's beyond our control. And when we get into that situation, what do? Ha! Keep fighting. All right? So they know, they sat Moses down on a rock, they put their hands under his hands, held his hands up. Brother Ron Peterson preached a wonderful sermon on that. hands on, hands up, and hands under. It's like we all have a place in the church, whether we're fighting on the front line supporting people, or we're the ones hands up praying. But at the end of that, in verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, because he said, the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. But where's the first time that that appears in the Bible? As that word, Nissi, on its own. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 21 and be very, very blessed by this. Okay. What's our banner? What do we have to hold up to have victory? Okay? Verse, like this, 8 and 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a Nissi. And it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a Nissi, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And there we see, what is our banner? What is our nissi? What is it that we hold up high and we look to? And if we don't hold it up high for ourselves and for others, we don't get the victory in situations. It's the banner, it's Lord Jesus Christ. The serpent lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is the Lord our victory. This is the Lord our banner. Okay? So, I'm going to provide a sacrifice because I see you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to take the bitterness away out of your life. And when you're in that hard fight, when you're in that struggle, I am going to be that which is lifted up, that you can look to and find deliverance from sin and find victory in your conflict. Amen. That's good. Do you see how this is unfolding step by step into a Christian walk that we can all enter into? Amen. The seven compound names of Jehovah. All right. Next one is interesting as well. They're all interesting. Okay. But let's turn to Judges chapter 6. So far we've seen a lot of these are about conflict, about how to manage in conflict, and this one is no different. Because where do we get our peace from? Jehovah Shalom. Alright? It isn't in times of peace. Because in times of peace, you don't need peace. But it's times of conflict that you need peace. So here's Gideon. And he's hiding his grain because every time he gets some good food, here comes the enemy and they take it away. They're starving to death. All right? And the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, God is with you, you mighty man of valor. And he said, who, me? If God is with me, where are all the miracles? You ever feel like that sometimes in your life? You say, I know you're real God. I've seen you move. I've heard the stories. Where's it for me? Okay? Oh, Lord, if the Lord be with us, why has all this befallen us? All right. So he's living under bondage, but that's not where the fear comes from. Okay? Because the angel sends him and he tells him to go, and Gideon says, if I find favor in thy sight, show me a sign. So he says, well, sure. He makes a kid ready. He cooks some meat. He cooks some bread. He cooks broth, it's soup. Or stew in a pot. So he takes a little bit of time to prepare this. And he puts it before him and says, here, eat. And the angel says to him, take the flesh, take it all, pour it out on the rock. So he pours it out on the rock. And the angel takes the rod that's in his hand and he just touches the end of it. And holy fire comes and burns it up as a sacrifice, as an offering. Okay? And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And now, Gideon really feels the fear, because the fear doesn't come from the situation that he's in. He's managing that. He's hiding his wheat in the wine press. The fear comes because, alas, O Lord God, because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Suddenly he realizes that this person that he's been flippantly saying, well, if God's with us, where are all the miracles? He thought he was just another man, another Israelite. And he said, well, God's with you and he's going to send you. And he's like, ah, sure, not me. It's like, well, if I found favor, let's have a meal together, and then you can go your way. And then suddenly, boom, he realizes I've been talking to God. And he's in great fear. And all of us should be aware that when we experience God, we are inadequate to meet him. Okay? And that if he tells us to do something, what have we said today? What have we done today? How have we approached this day in ways that make us insufficient to do what he's called us to do? And if you can realize that, you'll be in fear too. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Oh my. So I've got two scriptures to look at here. Genesis 15:15. Alright. And the Lord says, peace. And Gideon says, even though I'm in the midst of this distress, peace comes on me because he is my peace. So, first time this is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 15. I usually put bookmarks in, but I've got a lot of turning to do, so. Okay. And we know this, that this is Abram, before he becomes Abraham. God says, I'm your shield, my exceeding great reward. And he says, you'll have your own heir. He says, I'm making a pact with you. And he takes the animals and he separates them. The sun goes down, a great sleep falls upon Abraham, a horror of great darkness. And he says in verse 13, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And God gave his peace to Abraham. And that's the first time that that word appears in the Bible. But we have another scripture that I wrote down, which is Zechariah chapter 8. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to look it up on the iPad. So this is verse 12. Oh, yeah. We'll start a little earlier than that. Because this piece is there's connotations of other things within words. Okay? So, like you could say, I detest Brussels sprouts. They disgust me. They don't actually. I love Brussels sprouts, but I'm just saying detest and disgust are two words, and they have basically the same meaning, but they have slightly different connotations that come into it. So this word as well, shalom, has slightly different connotations. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went in or came out, because of the affliction, for I have set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now will I not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be shalom, shall be prosperous. And that word prosperous is shalom, it's the same word. So there's an idea within that peace, that it's a peace that you can flourish in. Okay? So again, I encourage you, go and study these things out, because you gain understanding and you say, I need peace. And Lord, what comes with the peace of the Lord? What comes in the name of the Lord? What is the strong tower that is the name of the Lord that we run in, we hide and we're safe? But what are all the different rooms that we can explore? Okay? All right. So, I'm your peace, I'm your banner, I'm your prosperity. Psalms 23. Oh, this is an interesting one. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Ra. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all those things follow from the Lord being our shepherd. This is so interesting, because this is another one of those words that appear very, very early in the Bible. This one, the first appearance, is in Genesis chapter 4. Try not to stay too long on this word, but it's so fascinating. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. And again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Same word, shepherd. Okay? Abel, why did he keep sheep? Why was Cain a tiller of the ground? We know that the commandment went forth by the sweat of your brow, will you eat bread. And so Cain said, I better keep the commandment. And he went and he broke the ground, and by the sweat of his brow did he make bread for him to eat and to have enough to offer to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, the works of his hands, the sweat of his brow. Look, Lord, how I am keeping your commandments. But Abel had a better revelation, because Abel saw something that isn't written in the scriptures in the same way that the commandment of God is written in the scriptures. He listened to his father, who said, we were lost in sin. We were done. We were under the penalty of death. And God himself came down, and he brought a sheep, and he killed that animal. And here we are, wrapped in sheepskin. And son, I've killed a sheep today, and I've wrapped you. What do you think they wore? What do you think Adam's sons wore? Cain and Abel. Sheepskin. That's what Adam wore. He wasn't about to make any fig trees, fig leaves for them. I'm wrapping you in this, because you need to be covered. And Cain took away, oh, my father covered me, I ought to go and keep God's law. And Abel took away, when the time comes that I need to stand before God on my own, I better have a sheep, and I better have a good one to give to God. And that's why he became a keeper of sheep. Not that my works, but I'm following your example, your revelation, the blood that covers. The Lord is my shepherd. But most commonly, so interesting, this word is translated as more like Genesis 29 verse 7. And he said, this is talking of Jacob comes, the sheep were gathered at the well. He says, lo, it is high day, it is neither is it time the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. Go and feed them, and most commonly feed or feeding is how that word shepherd is translated. So if the Lord is your shepherd, he's the one that feeds you. Physical food? Yes, but man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's just turn back a couple of pages to Genesis 26, just to show you something else. Okay? In Genesis 26, shepherd or herdsman, keeper of sheep, then you have to ask the question, if we all like sheep have gone astray, all right? Verse 20 says, the herdsmen of Gerar, the Philistines, did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So there are two flocks of sheep there. There are two sets of herdsmen. Okay? Who's your shepherd? Because somebody is. So have a think about that. Make the Lord your shepherd. Okay. I have 7 minutes per word. Okay, to watch over. Right, 7 minutes. Let's move on to the next one. So we'll try and get out of here on time. Okay? So, yes, the shepherd watches over the sheep, and we're going to turn... You're welcome to do a seven-part series on this, Brother Don. We're going to turn to Jeremiah 23. Okay, but now we see how the Lord is revealing and saying, hey, I provide a sacrifice because I see. I'm your healer. I look after you. I'm your banner. I give you victory, and I give you peace when you're in the battle and I come beside you and I say, oh, I'm just unworthy of even being in your presence. He says, but I give you that peace. Okay? And I'm your shepherd. I'm going to take you through the battle, and I'm going to feed you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be a shepherd to you. And now, Jeremiah 23. Now, listen to this. Well, we're going to start at verse 1, all right? Because we're following on from the Lord is my shepherd. How does this fit together? How did God link these all together, huh, in his Bible? I don't know. He knows. But this is wonderful. Because he starts off, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. The pastors, the shepherds. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Okay, I'm against. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they will be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall there be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. So if you're a sheep and you're in the wrong, you're under the wrong shepherd, if you're one of God, he says, I'm still coming after you. Yeah? I'm still going to gather you in. All right? So, there's no getting lost here. All right. If you're looking to say, I'd like the Lord to be my shepherd, but he isn't, because I'm coming after you and I'm going to judge the shepherd that's abusing you. All right. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereunto he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, it's really interesting because this is more about how his effect, his leadership, through what effect that produces in our lives. So let's turn to Leviticus 19. And this is the first time that word righteousness appears in the Bible. Okay, we'll just start at verse 1 here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I the Lord am holy. Now he goes into the commandments, and it says in verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, but thou shalt respect the person of the poor. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. Okay? How are you acting? And the Lord says, I am your righteousness. I am the way in which you should act in the world. Okay? So as we come under this shepherd, as he leads us through the bitterness, as he heals us and saves us and leads us into victory. Okay? As he gives us peace in the midst of trouble, and as he's feeding us as a shepherd, now he's giving us the right things to do. Now he's our righteousness. And let's turn to Proverbs 2, just to approach this from a slightly different angle, but one that's really the same thing, that says, here's what you need to do. You need to search for wisdom because of the effect that it will have on your life. Okay, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness, judgment, yea, and equity, yea, every good path. So if you want to walk good paths, seek after the wisdom of God. And as the shepherd, he'll feed you, and that feeding will produce the righteousness, the actions in your life as you let him come through you and follow his commandments. Okay? Not that we stand in our own righteousness, we stand in his righteousness. But he says, I'm your righteousness, not so you can do what you want to do, but I'm your righteousness because I cover your mistakes so you can do what I would have you do. So now we've got through all the battles, and now we're walking in righteousness. He's taken us out from under the pastors that weren't taking care of us and said, I'm your shepherd now. I am, you know, follow me, listen to my word, and your righteousness, now you're walking, excuse me, in your righteousness. And we got 7 more minutes maybe for the last one, which is in Ezekiel chapter 48. And we're coming to the end of the service, but we're also coming to the end of the path here. Because can you see the path that these 7 names take us through, from seeing our need and providing our need to here? In verse 30, and these are the goings out of the city on the north side. 4,500 measures, and the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribe of Israel. 3 gates northwards, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, 1 gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500 and 3 gates, 1 gate of Joseph, 1 gate of Benjamin, 1 gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures and 3 gates, 1 gate of Simeon, 1 gate of Issachar, 1 gate of Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with their 3 gates. 1 gate of Gad, 1 gate of Asher, 1 gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of that city from that day shall be The Lord is There, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. And that's again one of the early words that we find in the first place in the Bible. But we got through this journey. But let's have a look at that in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So the first word, that word there, is the same word, Shammah, present. So the first time that word is used in the Bible, it's used in the place where God and man have come to a garden for a place of fellowship. And we find it used at the end of this trail of the 7 compound names of Jehovah, where God and man have a city now. They've gone from a garden to a city, but man and God dwell together again in that city. And that sacrifice, you don't have to die. I've seen what you need, and I will provide. I'm your healer. I'll turn the bitter to sweet for you. I'm there in battle for you. I'm your banner. But when you get close to me and you see that fearsome God of battle smiting the enemies, and you realize that you're only one step away from being smitten, from being just as sinful as your enemies, except for the grace of God, I'm here to say, I give you my peace. I'm your shepherd, I'm your feeder. But if you go down a wrong path, if you get caught, maybe through no fault of your own, under a shepherd that feeds you bad, feeding you with abusing you, here am I to come after you and to bring you out and to lead you into the righteousness. And now as I become your righteousness, as you eat what I have for you, as you imbibe my spirit and read my word and let it become part of you, so what is going to flow out of you is going to be more and more of me and less of you. And as that happens, now what's happening is I've become your righteousness. You're doing the right things in every situation, not because you're doing the right things in every situation, but because you're becoming so much part of me, and you and I are becoming one. And you're just living, my life is living through you, my righteousness. And then, I'm present. I am there. I'm that dwelling place that you and I share. And maybe it's the Garden of Eden. And maybe it's the New Jerusalem. Or maybe it's just this body of flesh that you're living in right now, that I'm there with you. Every step of the way, I am present. I will take you to that city, but I'm there for you right now. That's the 7 compound names of Jehovah in 49 minutes. But there's so much more. I'd encourage you to have a look. But trust that was a blessing. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your blessings to us. Thank you for these 7 compound names that you bring us to. and this path that you've had us walk that takes us from a place of needing your provision to a place of dwelling with you eternally. Help us to find the next step on that path, be your righteousness, to rely on your banner when we need it, to look to you for deliverance in the time of battle and victory. Lord, if I've said anything that's been wrong, I pray you bring it to your light. Lord, but the words that you've spoken, may they sink in our hearts and encourage us on this walk that we have towards your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, when we sing that song, you know the song. Yeah, that song. You'll have a little more understanding, maybe, of the depth that you can draw out of each part of the seven compound names of Jehovah. Amen. Let's sing. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Excuse me. You are more than enough. Oh, number 20 in this. Is the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within you now. But we can see, no matter where you are in your life right now, you may need a touch from Jehovah Shalom. You may may need a touch from Jehovah Sidkenu. You may need a touch from Jehovah Nissi. You may need a touch from all that he has in the different part of your life. Well, a different touch, which is probably what we all need. So, you need a touch from him in a certain area of your life. Oh, I know I do. Just raise your hand, stand on your feet. Let's pray and let's commit ourselves to him. Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, Lord Jesus Christ, you said that your name is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. You said whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, this evening each one of us have a need somewhere in our lives. Lord, I need you to purge me and clean me. I need you to gain the victory over the things that I struggle against. Lord, I need your peace to calm me when I'm anxious and worried, Lord. I need your righteousness, Lord, every day. Do so many wrong things. But I pray that you would come down and provide, that you would see each need. And in seeing, then there will be a comfort of your provision. Lord, that I could walk to that place where you are there with me, where you're present. Even in this lump of flesh, Lord, that would be totally a meeting place between me and you, with nothing else entering in but your thoughts. Lord, and each one that stood or lifted their hands with a similar need, Lord, I pray that you'd look kindly on us. Be our shepherd, Lord. Help us to turn away from the shepherds that we've been following that aren't those with our best interest in the heart. Lord, turn us back to you. Father, I commit everyone here that has that need, as well as myself, into your hands, Lord. Truly, we are your sheep, gone astray. But you are our Jehovah Jireh. You are everything we have need of. Come down and meet our needs this evening, Lord. And as we go, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think we'll just dismiss the meeting there. And if you want to stay and pray for a while, commit yourself to the Lord, feel free. If you want to leave, just, you know, leave quietly. God bless you all.